Welcome to the Anacostia Museum of the Smithsonian Institution. This audio tape will introduce you to the exhibition and provide a leisurely, self-paced tour. You may stop the audio tape at any time to look at an artwork longer, or press the rewind button to hear portions of the audio tape again. Enjoy your visit. The title of our exhibition is Inspiration, 1961 to 1989. It features works of arts by members of the District of Columbia Art Association, or DCAA. DCAA was organized in 1961 by art teachers from the District of Columbia Public Schools. Since that time, it has grown to include other artists, art directors, graphic designers, illustrators, and sculptors of the greater Washington area. DCAA is a community-minded group dedicated to fostering and promoting the visual arts. Its goals are realized through member exhibitions, the awarding of scholarships, and by providing jurying services for student shows. These and other projects over the last 27 years attest to the unselfish commitment of DCAA to the cultural enrichment of Washington, D.C. In this exhibition, you will find works that express a variety of themes. For example, the show begins with a close-up of a musician's hands and ends with the face of a weeping woman. Both reflect the richness of the Black American experience. Other works are abstract in design and will elicit subjective responses from you, the viewer. In this exhibition, you will also notice that the artists have chosen to work with many materials, including torn paper, paints, pen and ink, copper, and plywood. Over the years, DCAA members have developed many personal and professional relationships. The membership includes colleagues, ex-classmates, former teachers and students, and there's even a mother and son. The exhibition, Inspiration 1961 to 1989, also includes work by four deceased members. The dedication of this exhibition by DCAA members states, "To the creative spirit of those who walked before us, those who walk with us, and those who will walk beyond us." The introductory panel that is in front of you tells more about the DCAA. You may now turn off the recorder to read the text or continue your tour. Your tour continues behind you and to the left of the double doors through which you just entered. The first work on the tour is entitled Bassist and is an oil painting by Wallace Conway. It depicts a close-up view of a musician's curled fingers manipulating the strings of his instrument. What music do you imagine he is playing? Hunter, to your left, is the name of the second figurative work by Conway. Bold brush strokes and strong color are used to suggest an event that is frozen in time. Here, the old man sits, waiting patiently on a log. The gun resting on his shoulder is an undeniable clue to what is happening. Wallace Conway now lives in Trenton, New Jersey, and has family and educational roots in Washington, D.C. Continuing around the wall are sculptures by Erlena Bland. The first acrylic on mineral surface sculpture is entitled Quasar Buffoonery and is a part of the artist's Orbital series. It is a whimsical image in which geometric shapes are placed one on top of the other. The surface shows bright colors that are brushed over a rough or textured support. Notice how the colors, painted in a circular manner, serve to define motion. This effect continues throughout the work. The artist describes this work as a billowing nebula, or star surrounded by incandescent clouds. Check It Out is the title of the next sculpture by Bland. It, too, is a part of the Orbital series. Here, an almost triangular red form is positioned over swirling forms of yellow, purple, and blue. How do you perceive the motion of this sculpture? In what direction is it traveling? The artist describes her creative experience as having an ongoing love affair with color, shape, and texture. Field Flowers to your left is an acrylic and mixed media painting by Annabelle Coward. In this work, flowers of yellow and yellow-orange stand at attention in an open field, competing for recognition. Notice that the flowers in the foreground are larger and more clearly defined than those in the background. Strokes of gray, blue, brown, and orange merge and separate as they fill the sky. The artist uses an impressionistic style of applying paint over a carefully built surface. Field Flowers was painted from Coward's imagination and represents her love of nature. Next is an acrylic painting by Gloria Freeman. The artist says she enjoys portraying children in their everyday life scenes. She also states that their activities and characteristics have a universal character that reflects the interrelatedness of children throughout the world. Young Violinist is the name of this painting. It depicts Freeman's daughter and her classmates as they wait on stage for their performance to begin. Acrylic paint is the medium preferred by the artist because it is fast-drying and water-soluble. At the end of this wall are two paintings by Jewett Day. Day believes that light is important for the growth and development of many things. Light and Fertility is the title of this first oil on canvas painting. In this work, light enters from the right side and collides with a soaring symbol of fertility to suggest an explosion of color and form. Look closely to find images that remind you of fertility. Next, Day gives us a different style and a different subject. Landscape St. Pete is painted by applying watercolor onto wet paper. Here the artist combines violet, turquoise, and black to suggest swaying palm trees that extend horizontally across the picture. More turquoise is added to the bottom half to depict a richly colored ocean. What other colors do you see in this painting? How would you describe the weather on this day on St. Pete Island? And what else comes to mind? Continuing around the wall is Still Life Textures, an oil painting by Gene Jarvis. This painting relies heavily on the colored strokes of Jarvis's brush to render textures. How would you describe these brush strokes? Jarvis credits the Impressionist painters as having a great influence on her work. Representational images by the same artist are found in Waterway, the next painting. Jarvis says the ideas for her paintings began with actual objects or scenes. Then she adds or subtracts forms and changes colors until she is pleased with the result. In Waterway, Jarvis brings to life the excitement of a windy day by showing sails that bellow and water that rushes against unyielding rocks. Notice how the artist paints different colored birds against contrasting backgrounds. Sylvia Jackson is our next artist. Jackson describes this painting as a happy expression of nature's most magnificent creation, flowers. In this field of flowers, also the name of the work, some flowers have fully matured, while others have just started to bloom. The artist has decided to carefully detail some flowers and suggests the general form for others. The untitled watercolor painting, to your left, shows fruit in an overturned basket, cheese, bread, and a bottle of wine. In painting the bottle of wine, the artist has rendered it transparent so that the visual flow of the fruit behind it is uninterrupted. Both of these works by Sylvia Jackson are watercolor paintings. According to Jackson, an artist must be creative, possess intellect, and have a command of media. The next painting, Côte l'Église, St. Gerard, Haiti, refers to an area near the Church of St. Gerard in Haiti. This watercolor on paper shows wash day activities in the village. Here, the status of the villagers' living condition is made clear as we see modest dwellings and women in simple dress. Also included is a lush landscape that is bathed in a bright tropical sun. The second watercolor painting by Jones is entitled Petite Fille, or Little Girl. In this work, the girl's piercing eyes and tight-lipped expression reveal a somber mood. The figure is the main attraction, with the blue-draped background playing a supporting role. Lois Jones is an internationally renowned artist who has exhibited in this country, as well as in Nigeria, Haiti, and France. She is also a professor emeritus of Howard University, where she taught many of the artists in this exhibition. To your left is Garden of Life, a mixed media on plywood. Vonja Kirkland credits her late husband and artist Richard Dempsey as being a great and wonderful influence on her work. The top half of this work shows a peaceful world depicting a happy coexistence between the male and female form. A plywood surface provides a textured visual support that serve to characterize the two human-like figures. The bottom half of the work is symbolic of pain, fear, and evil. The artist shows that life's garden offers both good and evil. Continuing on, Kirkland uses a series of methodically placed dots to create this expressive portrait of Toni Morrison. Notice that the darker areas are indicated by dots that are closer to each other. Even the lines are comprised of dots that are strung together. This pointillistic style extends into the hair and forms interesting patterns of swirls and curves. Leroy Lipford, our next artist, is a self-taught metal craftsman specializing in copper and brass tooling. His themes often derive from history. The relief sculpture, located at the top, is called Friends of Distinction. The artist looks to contemporary historical figures for his subject matter. In this scene, from left to right, are social activist Dorothy Height, educator Mary McLeod Bethune, and humanitarian Eleanor Roosevelt. Lipford begins with a thin sheet of copper that he hammers and etches. Later, he brushes a chemical solution onto the copper, which oxidizes the metal and turns it brown. To the bottom is Lipford's second sculpture, entitled DC's Own Duke Ellington. It shows Washington's native son in two poses, one in formal attire and the other in casual dress. You'll notice that light reflects off this piece in different ways, depending on where you stand. Lipford would like his composition to make a lasting impression on the viewer, just as he has permanently molded images into this thin metal surface. Moving to your left, you will find an acrylic on canvas painting by James Littlejohn, who paints under the name Jacques Petitjean. Petitjean believes an artist must have discipline, creative aptitude, and sensitivity. This painting, entitled Chromosaic, presents a rainbow of colors in a mosaic or tile design. What image do you see? Is it a crowd scene or perhaps pebbles on a beach? Do these images seem to move? If so, in what direction? First Light is the next painting by Petitjean. It depicts a weeping willow tree in early morning. Here you will find daylight breaking through a natural screen formed by the leaves on the tree. Which part of this composition are you drawn to first? Is it the tree, the leaves, or the sunburst? Continuing left is Resting in Thee, an oil painting by Edith Martin. Martin paints under the name Omra, an Egyptian name meaning one sun. She describes herself as nature's person. This painting speaks of tranquility and spiritual rest. The five people sitting on the porch are enjoying the warmth of the summer sun as they wait to visit this historic plantation home, located in Charleston, South Carolina. As she relived this morning through her painting, she wondered about the many other people who might have visited this place. What would you imagine happened on this porch 100 years ago? The intent of the artist is to draw you into the painting. At the end of this wall are two watercolors by Justine McLaren. Olney Ale House at the top was painted from a photograph. This popular eating place is located in Olney, Maryland. Here the artist captures a winter scene just as the snow begins to melt. You will also notice that bright sunlight is indicated by strong shadows throughout the picture. Just below is the painting entitled Peonies. The peony is McLaren's favorite flower and has been the subject of many of her works. If you look carefully, you will see that some flowers are painted in detail while others are mere suggestions. McLaren says that when she's working on a painting, she becomes very relaxed and any problems seem very far away. She paints for the love and fun of it. To your left, on the next wall, is a three-part painting, or triptych, by Delilah Pierce entitled Nature's Symphony. The artist states, "In my work, I aim to see and idealize the beauty and order of the physical world. Nature's Symphony recalls the serenity and open spaces of Martha's Vineyard, the island off the coast of Massachusetts. In this painting, A pattern of trees open in the center and reveal a distant community across a calm ocean. The many rocks in this painting form another of nature's patterns. At 4 by 9 feet, this is the largest painting in the exhibition. The late Ken Simpson is our next artist. In Columbia Sunset, Simpson turns his attention to a nautical scene. Here, he uses liberally applied oil paints to suggest boats, a pier, water, and sky. Instead of a realistic approach, the artist presents form through bold brushstrokes and harmonious colors. You might try standing back to get a better look at this one. Sam, the title of the second work by Simpson, is a linocut print. A linocut is made from an inked linoleum surface with areas that have been cut away. The white areas on this paper print represent parts of the linoleum block that were cut away. The black areas represents the inked surface that remained. Would you describe Sam's expression as worried, solemn, cautious, or afraid? Perhaps you have a different interpretation. The lines etched in Sam's cheeks are cross-hatched. The lines to the bottom left of his lips are curved. How would you describe the other lines that you see? The next two paintings are by Peter Robinson. The artist states, "The inspiration for my work comes from nature. I like warm, vibrant colors and invite the viewer to gaze and to become aware of the harmony of nature and humanity." To the top is an oil painting entitled Volcano. This work shows an abstract style with a rainbow of colors. Below is the painting entitled Red Top Hill, the first painting of Robinson's Hill series. Of special importance is the curved form or hill at the top of the work, which represents the centerpiece of the painting. From this hill radiates the remainder of the composition. If you look closely, you will find some similarities and some differences between these two paintings. Both were inspired by satellite photographs of the Earth's surface. The first oil painting on the wall to your left is a portrait of Cleveland A. Cox by Catherine Jones. This painting was commissioned by Cox's wife, Luella. According to the artist, "The art of portraiture is the greatest joy of my life, enabling me to recapture nature's vivid tones, shades, and tints in a human way." The second portrait by Jones features Charles Alonzo Chambers II. This work represents the artist's very first attempt at oil painting. The portrait was painted from a black and white photograph sent by this soldier from overseas. Jones recreated this image in color, relying heavily on her memory. Continuing to your left is Street Scene 3 by Edith Strange. Street Scene 3 is created with torn pieces of paper. The various styles of houses reflect differences in urban living. How would you describe them? Think about the materials used in their construction. All of the people, young and old, are walking toward the buildings. Why do you think this is happening? In this work, Strange shows the harmonious relationship between people and their environment. A more traditional style of painting is seen in Strange's watercolor entitled Trees, the next work. There is much that you can tell about nature by looking at this painting. Trees, the more recent of these two works by Strange, was painted from memory. What are your thoughts here? Look at these two works by Edith Strange and decide how they are similar. How are they different? Please continue on to the next artist. Next, Conrad Thompson's paintings hang one on top of the other. The top painting is entitled The Windmills of My Mind. The composition includes 8 circular forms that seem to turn simultaneously. These spheres, says the artist, represent focal points in the mind that range from warm, as indicated by the top row, to cold, as indicated by the bottom row. Thompson suggests motion by painting rays of color that emanate from the center of each sphere. Look at all 8 spheres and decide which are more dramatic and which are more subdued. The textured background is characterized by strokes of color that lean toward the yellow, red, and orange spectrum. In Heads of Blacks, the painting below, Thompson's images are less geometric and more stylized. How are the three heads different? How would you describe their expressions? According to the artist, the love and appreciation of art is the one cohesive element that brings people of diverse backgrounds to a commonality. It is the saving grace, I think, for all mankind. To your left is an oil painting by the late Larry Thomas, formerly a designer at the Anacostia Museum. Here, Thomas reaches back to his African roots to show the drama and pageantry of the traditional dance ceremony. Featured in the foreground are two beautifully adorned dancers. Emerging from the background, to the left of the dancers, is a drummer whose musical sounds guide the celebration. Out of the fog, to the left side of the painting, is a lone forearm and hand that plays a drum. Is it real or is it imagined? Adding to the mystique are masks and statues that appear in full and faded glory. This painting is untitled. James Wells is our next artist. Wells is a distinguished artist, historian, and educator. While on faculty at Howard University, he taught many of the artists whose works appear in this exhibition. Many of his works show a long-standing concern for humanity. Wells's images are inspired by history, religion, and mythology. This first work, Daedalus and His Son Icarus, is an oil-on-canvas painting. According to Greek mythology, Icarus fell to his death when he disregarded his father's warning not to fly too close to the sun. It was the heat of the sun that melted the wax in his wings, causing him to fall into the sea. The next work by Wells is a color linocut print entitled Black Profile. Throughout his career, Wells has consistently favored black images in his art. This black head in profile is accented by white lines that characterize an eye, a nose, lips, hair, and an ear. The hair flows freely from the head and wraps around a ring inside a solid circle. Riding atop the head are swirling lines that surround a smaller circle. The last two paintings before you reach the door are by Sandra Williams. To the top is Still Life in Blue, painted from life. Here the artist uses harmonious colors to state her case. The objects in the still life includes scrolls, a teapot, an olive oil can, a mirror, books, fruit, and various containers. The blue-violet background provides a sharp contrast to the glistening objects on the covered table. The bottom painting by Williams is entitled Nude on Wicker Seat. This was also painted from life and took several sittings to complete. It is a sensitive portrayal of a nude woman seated in a chair. The chair that wraps around her back becomes at once the foreground and middle ground, carrying with it a patterned message. Tans and greens join in the distance behind this nude on a wicker seat. You may stop here and take time to look at the works along the outside wall, or you may continue your tour by walking through the entranceway that is directly behind you and to the left of the introductory panel. Just as you enter this smaller room, you will find two oil paintings by William Dorsey to the right. First, Dorsey takes us indoors in his study of Rio by Night, featuring two cabaret dancers. Here, entertainment comes to life as these dancers prance across a well-lighted stage. One can almost hear the pulsating sounds of Afro-Brazilian music. Look closely at the costumes. How would you describe the materials used? Next, Dorsey's visual essay on Brazil continues with a sunbathing woman. In this painting, called Made in Brazil, the artist makes use of subtle highlights and shadows to emphasize the contours of the female form. Notice that the light from the sun is directed from the right, and the background is occupied by both people and buildings. Your tour continues with the remaining six works in this room. Moving to the next wall, to your left, is Double Friendship, Gloria Greene's acrylic on canvas painting. You will notice the expressions of joy and pride as two friends show a painting that reflects their special bond. The second painting by Green is entitled The Little Master Painter. The young artist in this picture carefully applies paint directly from the tube. In the background, you will find a finished painting by the young artist, which is proudly displayed on the wall. Green says that her art captures a glimpse in time of the innocence of children, expressing their ideas, emotions, and inner feelings of the world around them. Continuing to the next wall, past the two passageways, you will see two paintings by Charles Mitchell. Mitchell was first introduced to art by his mother, Corinne, whose works are also included in this show. The two pictures in front of you were inspired by the artist's visits to Haiti. In the first painting, The Market Taxi, Mitchell pays homage to the farmer as an important and productive member of society. Next, in Fruits and Cane, he continues his worker theme by showing the island farmers who harvest fruit and sugarcane. You will notice that women and men are seen as equal partners in his paintings. Here, as in Market Taxi, the dense tropical forest with rich vegetation is crowned by a sky of textured clouds. This painting is typical of the many harvesting scenes you might find in Haiti. What other impressions do you get from Mitchell's work? On the last wall of this room are acrylic paintings by Leroy Gaskin. Gaskin uses representational objects to portray both inanimate and human forms. The first painting, entitled Proud Dad, expresses the joy and pride of a father for his son. Smiles are shared by both as the son rests confidently in his father's arms. The artist describes himself as basically a people painter. Gaskin believes that your interpretation of this work may depend in part on your own personal experiences. To the left is Still Life of Artist Supplies. Here, Gaskin decided to give special attention to his painting supplies. Also depicted are flowers in a vase and a pitcher. All of the objects are enclosed in a cloth that serve as foreground and background. To continue, please walk through the doorway that is to the right of Leroy Gaskin's paintings. Straight ahead and on the wall to your right is But for the Grace of God, a collage by DCAA president and arts activist Georgette Powell. This work addresses the issue of America's homeless. The artist skillfully uses torn paper to simulate the patched material that a homeless person might wear. Accenting the woman's leopard coat is a black hat adorned with a single rose. Located to the left of the figure are the words family care. What do you think these words mean? Now look to the next wall on your left. Tropical Motif, our second mixed media collage by Georgette Powell, is rich in texture and pattern. Vibrant colors extend in many directions to create busy and energized images. How many different patterns do you see in this work? Do you see many that are similar? Georgette Powell's first art training was from the Harlem Art Workshop class, taught by James Wells, whose works you have already seen. Moving to your left in this room is Museum Piece, the first of two works by Helen Pettis. In this work, the artist uses whole and fragmented shapes to make an active visual statement. There are also layers of forms floating in solid and transparent splendor. What kinds of images do you recognize in this work? Next, Helen Pettis continues to lead us on a journey of colors in early spring, where bold lines turn with excitement and herald the beginning of a new season. Which do you think is more prominent, the shapes, lines, or colors? You might want to stand back and look at the two works together. To your left are the last two works in this room. To the far left of this wall is Josephine at Home, an acrylic painting by Betty Murchison. Josephine at Home shows a woman standing with a vase of flowers to her right. Murchison's style of painting is suggestive, indicating basic forms with little attention given to detail. Murchison also uses borders to help distinguish shape. In this manner, white lines help to define the flowers. To your right is the painting Aaron and Leah by Murchison. In this work, she includes more detail to tell the story of two little girls sitting on a sofa. Behind the figures are bright red, blue, and orange patterns. Take a closer look to determine how the two paintings are similar. How are they different? Next, walk through the passageway to your right and continue around the corner until you see a painting by Alma Thomas. The last part of the tour will lead you around this wall. The late Alma Thomas has said, "A world without color would seem dead. Color is life. Light is the mother of color." The circle of flowers is the name of this acrylic painting. Thomas reduces flowers to simple one-color images, each providing a link to the overall design. Repeating colors include purple, green, yellow, and brown. Thomas's mosaic patterns form 19 circular rows that spin in harmony. The background is also patterned, although much more subdued in color. In 1924, Alma Thomas became the first art graduate of Howard University, and until the end of her life, she was an inspiration to many. Standing back from this painting will give you a better perspective. Please continue to your left and around the corner, where you will find two oil paintings by Percy Ricks. The first painting, How Long, Lord, expresses Rick's concern for the horrors of war. The main character here is an emaciated figure who runs and screams with outstretched hands. In addition to a desolate courtyard, he is surrounded by buildings that symbolize mausoleums. Tattered flags represent American wars fought during this century. Next, swirling flames of red and purple emanate from a human forms in the painting entitled The Fire Next Time. Notice that as this form comes toward us, the all-consuming fire leads a trail that extends to the horizon. How fast would you say this figure is traveling? Below the image is a pale yellow flame with strokes of orange and red that serve to visually separate the figure from its bluish-purple surroundings. Influencing Rix's work are the search for self and the spiritual relationship between himself and God. As you continue around this wall and toward the center, you will see Alano, his mother, his wife, an acrylic painting by Corinne Mitchell. Alano is the figure to your left front. This work says that Alano's mother is an important person in his life. Here, the mother kneels between Alano and his wife. You will notice that this painting is highly textured and patterned. Next, in Sisterhood, Mitchell represents all black women by showing differences in skin tone and hairstyles. She uses stylized human forms and flat color to deliver her message. All forms are bordered in black, similar to a work in stained glass. Mitchell believes that art should stimulate the viewer. To your left are two small works by Rachel Davis. At the top is Dandy Dandelion, a colored pencil sketch that suggests the curiosity of a young girl as she sniffs and picks flowers. In this drawing, no attention is paid to a background scene. Because of this, you are drawn first and last to the little girl and the field of flowers. Below is Banjo Lesson, a collage inspired by the painting of the same name by internationally renowned black American artist Henry O. Tanner. By using bits of paper, Davis recreates Tanner's painting of a patient old man passing along a musical heritage to an interested young boy. Although no detail is defined, the artist's message is unmistakable. What household objects are you able to identify in this picture? Around this wall are the last works of the exhibition. In 1951, the late artist Richard Dempsey was invited by the Haitian government to depict that country's people and culture. One resulting work is the painting Patientville, Haiti, seen here to the right. Dempsey uses a cubistic style in depicting a village. He reduces buildings to simple geometric shapes. To add interest to these otherwise solid shapes, he incorporates curved and zigzagged scratches and patterns throughout the painting. This scene has a coffin at the bottom, representing a graveyard, and houses shown throughout the village. To see the houses, you will need to look for roofs and bricks. Our last work in this exhibition is a representational oil painting by Dempsey entitled Mamba's Daughter. Mamba was a friend of the artist, and her daughter always seemed sad. To emphasize this emotion, the artist added a tear to the portrait. What are your feelings about this person? Can you gain any clues from her dress or the structure behind her? Although Richard Dempsey made his mark as a painter, he began his art career by studying under famed sculptor Sargent Johnson. This concludes the self-guided portion of your tour. You may now wish to review the exhibition at your own pace. Before you leave, please complete the evaluation form of this audio tape that is available at the guards station in the lobby. We would also like for you to fill out a comment card and give us your thoughts on this exhibition. Thank you for visiting the Anacostia Museum. We invite you to come again. At this time, we ask that you rewind the tape and turn off the recorder.